You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
I would like to acknowledge the Kaurna people, who are the traditional custodians of the land here. I would also like to pay my respects to elders past and present of Kaurna country. And I put up on the board an image of the nations that are near us. So we'll begin our first hymn, Spirit of Life. in archaeology, and perhaps even your own backyard, digging up an old artefact can bring a lot of excitement and that beatific reward for curiosity, the joy of discovery. So it was for me upon unearthing the artefacts I found hidden deep within the self. These are of more value to me than the glint of chunky gems crusted on the luster of silver and gold. They're certainly not so useful for paying the bills. These holy artefacts represent concepts so simple yet profound, they hold a level of solidity in my perception. Today I wish to talk about one of them, my first. I had an isolated childhood, and a great silver lining to that isolation was the opportunity to go deep within the self. For good or for ill, it has shaped me greatly to this day. Since this was my first artefact, please forgive me if I am presenting this in too basic a manner, for the roots of childhood reach deep and I am drawing them out here. Much of what is presented in this sermon represents the fourth principle, that free and responsible search for truth and meaning, something I did well before joining this church that embodies it. My very first God was truth, you know. I think the black and white contrast appeals to the developing minds, trying to make sense of this rather complicated world. And in a sense, it is that very concept that forms the first artefact. Because, you see, we are living in a space highly polarized into binary nature. Binary, as in two. Good and evil. Light and dark. Summer and winter. Questions and answers. Life and death. Yes and no. Cynicism and trust. Folly and wisdom. Trump and not Trump. We could go on for a very long time drawing attention to our binary contrasts, but I do need to hammer it home, because in becoming aware of how binary we are, we can perhaps perceive the opportunity it presents to us. We are so bound up in our binarity. We created amazing devices with the potential for actual sentience, which is being developed right now, and these computers run entirely upon it. The popular computers of all types, whether handheld or on your desktop or in your automobile and many other places you may not be aware of, they run on binary zeros and ones entirely to operate at every level of their electronic existence. Our binarity runs right through our physical bodies as well, left and right hand, a leg, lung, kidney, brain hemisphere. Binarity lets us compare, decide, divide, contrast, draw boundaries, and even to prophecy due to its predictable nature. A mirror, like this one, is a most amazing thing that we humans invented, or if you like, plagiarized from that still lake of nature. It lets us peep at ourselves, and in that peeping, know something more of who we are. It's funny, isn't it, how we sometimes think it's another person over there past the glass, even though we know it isn't. A peeper peeping back. Sometimes we think this mirror-bound peeper is us, a perfect reflection of who we are in the moment. Actually, it isn't. It's a perfect reflection of who we are in the moment in exact reverse. The fire truck has fire written in reverse for a reason. It's so that looking in our mirrors while we're driving, we can read it more easily and therefore respond faster to our first responders. For the mirror reverses the reverse writing back to the right way around. This means everything mirrored is reversed. This reversal is important because it is the reversal inherent in reflection that gives us an opportunity to become open-minded and to look beyond the binary images. Now, if we take away the mirror, we can see something wider about the universe we share. That mirrored before your eyes is you in reverse, reflected right back to you, and it sits not beyond the glassy eyes, but there, inside your mind, where your consciousness and perception really lies. This means everything that you are perceiving is partly a projection of you in reverse. However, let's try something a bit more grounded and practical. Let's imagine a scenario. It may even be one that you've experienced yourself. You are driving out in the countryside. It's a beautiful day, and you really want to get where you're going. Suddenly your car coughs and splutters, makes all those noises you don't really want to hear, and it does that most dreaded thing. It stops. It stops, leaving you right there in the middle of nowhere. You feel a bit panicked. Is your phone in range? How on earth can you get help out here? Stupid car, you shout. Mostly to the car, but rather rudely, it refuses to listen to you. Stupid car. We all know this is projection. Cars aren't quite aware enough to be stupid. Yet. So where then is this folly, this stupidity? If we reflect what we exclaimed back, what do we see? I guess it might have been me. It might have been us that was stupid. Maybe we forgot to fill up with petrol. Maybe we glossed over that rather overdue service. Maybe gambling the old bomb would make it to Dharma was a wee bit silly. Now not only do we have to realise the real cause of our discomfort and inconvenience, we do have an opportunity to change it in the future. We can use this basic mirroring technique in many ways. We might think we're absolutely right in an argument. I've been guilty of that more often than I care to admit. I could argue you've done the same, and I know I'm absolutely right. Consider being absolutely wrong. We might think that millennials don't work hard enough. Consider that they do, perhaps in a different way. Perhaps they work a job, family, activism, church, and the social life all at the one time. Perhaps they are also struck by illness and still deliver to the best of their ability. Perhaps also working ourselves to the bone is not really the wisest goal in life, even if it is the most socially accepted. We might think that older people are too stuck in the mud or past it to contribute anything. Consider that they do. Consider of their experience, their knowledge tempered by history and practicality, their steadfast care, and the effect and the effort they carefully target for best effect. No, if you project that you are stuck in the mud, it's really you revealing that you're stuck in the mud. We can do this mirroring technique as well from what people tell us. Many of us with some experience in social workings know that a person who fronts up with great and forced expressions of what a wonderful person they are often turn out to be more marketing than deliverance. I wonder how the PM got onto that slide. We reverse what they say to see who they might be. This can also work when a person fronts with how useless or worthless they are as well. You do remember the first principle, I hope. The inherent worth and dignity of every person is something to value, even and perhaps especially when they struggle to value it themselves. The mirroring technique can even be applied to the mirror. What I am presenting here is a positive aspect of the mirror, but a negative aspect can be easily found, and we need look no further than that still lake of nature, with dear old Narcissus staring deep within at his adoring reflection. The mirror, you see, can be used to raise ourselves to worth. But it can also be used to raise our worth so high we become enamoured of it, fixated on it, bound by it, bound in our ego, and ultimately we start thinking we're worth more than others. This is a destructive place indeed. So the concept can be applied to see a cloud in every piece of polished silver. The reverse too, that stalwart meme that every cloud has a silver lining, also applies. These two call us to see the potential for greatness and awfulness in all things. We'll begin our second hymn, To Seek and to Find Our Natural Mind. This also, interestingly enough, applies to our dear Prime Minister and other vexing individuals like Trump. They too have worth quite separate from the false worth they shower themselves with. We don't have to agree with their policies or their destructive ways one bit, but they are human, and they too deserve the call of inherent worth and dignity. This applies far more widely than that. Prisoners, some of whom have partaken in very ill indeed things, rape, murder, long-term abuse, other things that I don't care to talk about. If you close your eyes and bring forth the most vile behaving person you know, they apply too. They, all of them, whom are seen as unworthy people, are really, despite our discomfort at admitting it, inherently holding worth and dignity, which is not to say their behaviour is worthy or that we give it a free pass and fling open the prisons, nor does it mean that we have to maintain connection with those people. We don't. And this too can be mirrored. Those we hold up, those we already raise to considerable worth, the great leaders, musicians, actors, activists, the wisest of sages, even Martin Luther King. They are all human. They all hold secrets, or sometimes not so secret weaknesses, terrible behaviours and so on. This calls us to take care feeding the ego of these vulnerable people and to not take them too seriously in blind adoration. Yes, vulnerable. For they have to manage their ego from doing harm in the midst of a sea of people puffing that ego up, constantly telling them how wonderful they are. The mirroring technique was at least partially known by the old greats of Western philosophy too. Socrates' dialectical method, effective in finding truth in difficult circumstances through a conversational means, uses a kind of mirroring, which of course he's also well known for his I know that I know nothing paradox. And this too is a mirroring. Aristotle went a little further with this contrasting. This is not that kind of thinking, such as the contrast of potential and actual. And this led to the scientific categorization we still use to this very day. You know, if I apply the mirror right now, it occurs to me that Western, much like Eastern philosophical greats, were all men. How might we have been so much further advanced if the great minds of women were also of such prominence that they were recorded and built upon along with these men? We really have missed out, and we will never know what could have been. Carl Jung, perhaps more famous for early psychology than philosophy, talks about our shadow self, which I invite Bo to share with us today.
This confrontation is the first test of courage on the inner way, a test sufficient to frighten off most people. For the meeting with ourselves belongs to the more unpleasant things that can be avoided so long as we can project everything negative into the environment. But if we are able to see our own shadow and can bear knowing about it, then a small part of the problem has already been solved. We have at least brought up the personal unconsciousness The shadow is a living part of the personality and therefore wants to live with it in some form. It cannot be argued out of existence or rationalized into harmlessness. This problem is exceedingly difficult because it not only challenges the whole man or woman, but reminds him and her that at the same time of their helplessness and ineffectuality.
The technique of mirroring is really useful to challenge deep beliefs, including those about yourself, providing you with an extra window into perspective on the truth. Do you feel like you're the best or worst at something? Is there something you never do? Is there something you always do? Challenge it. Try the reverse. Sing if you think it's singing. Do better if you think you are the best. Cook if you feel like you cannot cook. Put yourself outside what you are comfortable with. This discomforting place is immensely valuable as it is the zone of growth and learning. Finally, this mirroring technique can be used to see more in very common memes. Here's a few simple ones reversed to give an example. The land of liberty and justice shall come to value injustice and the deprivation of liberty. And we are seeing that happen today. The leaders shall come to follow the followers, which is what polls are all about. What if every desire shall be manifest, and every manifest desire shall do its opposite? We shall have headache pills, but there shall be more headaches. There shall be aphrodisiacs, but sexual satisfaction and joy shall wane. There shall be cures of disease, but disease shall be more potent and more prevalent. In short, reflecting on the truth is about reversal and consideration of possibility outside the expected. If used with care, it can be a valuable tool to inform us and provide opportunities for growth. Our final hymn, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place. I'll be reciting here the Druid's Prayer, first recorded by Welsh bard and master forger Iolo Morganwg, used by some Druidic and pagan faiths today. This version is slightly modernised and in English, the original being in the beautiful language of the Welsh, which unfortunately is beyond my skill. Grant, O Great Spirit, Goddess, God, Holy Ones, thy protection, and in protection, strength, and in strength, understanding, and in understanding, knowledge, and in knowledge, the knowledge of justice, and in the knowledge of justice, the love of it, and in that love, the love of all existences, and in the love of all existences, the love of Great Spirit, Goddess, God, Holy Ones, the earth, our mother, and all goodness.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.